Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Governor, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Kevin. It's nice to be with you, as always.
Good morning, sir.
As you are acutely aware, states around the country having to hit the pause on reopening, even running back some of their initial openings, like beaches and this kind of thing. In Allegheny County yesterday, Rich Fitzgerald joined us to talk about shutting the bars down in this county and serving alcohol. What do you see as the future of Pennsylvania in terms of the potential to roll back this reopening as we're in the green?
Well, I mean, I think what Allegheny County is doing is absolutely appropriate. And it's the kind of thing that we can do because Pennsylvania is in a pretty good place. Now, we've seen some outbreaks like in Allegheny County and in spaces around Pennsylvania, but nothing like some of the disasters that other states are seeing. So I think what Allegheny County is doing is entirely appropriate, and that is saying, okay, here's our situation. It's not the same as, say, Tioga County's situation. And this is the way we want to deal with it. And Allegheny County, as you know, has its own health department. Dr. Bogan has done a fine job, and they've decided that establishments in Pittsburgh should not serve alcohol, and they're concerned about the closer quarters that come about when people are drinking, and maybe the louder chatter that leads to greater probability of the exchange of bodily fluids. So, you know, they made a reasoned, science-based, evidence-based decision that was appropriate for Allegheny County, and I think that they made the right decision.
So you're working with the local leaders and allowing them to make the decisions that are best for them. And
I mean, the thing I think you have to keep in mind is Pennsylvania. We moved early and we were decisive, and we closed the state down county by county. And we had broad and in some cases very draconian measures because, you know, we were in a very different situation in March than we are now. We could test maybe hundreds a day. Now, the most recent record on Friday, I think, was 19,000 tests. We have contact tracing capacity that we didn't have back then. So the hospitals have capacity when it comes to protective equipment that we didn't have back then. We know more about the disease. So we had to take actions then that were broad-based, very blunt instruments to make sure that we shut things down and bought the time we needed. We're in a different situation now, and we can deal with this in a very surgical, very focused manner. And when a problem arises in Allegheny County, the whole state shouldn't be asked to sort of say, okay, this is a one-size-fits-all. It's appropriate for Allegheny County. I think they made a very strong and smart decision, and I applaud them for making that. And that's what's going to allow Pennsylvania to get ready and keep moving through this phase without having the kinds of draconian measures that states like Texas and now Arizona and I think Florida are going to have to take.
And Governor, as you know, you've taken a lot of criticism from business leaders because of this stay at home. You must feel somewhat vindicated. But today, ironically, you're trying to help small businesses from the state with that CARES Act grant money, and businesses can apply as of this moment to try to, you know, keep everybody afloat as we move through this process.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that what happened in Pennsylvania and other states was just devastating for the economy and for businesses. And the more vulnerable the businesses, the more devastating it was. The only thing that I think we've got to keep in mind is that if we had had a situation like happened in Italy, where the hospitals, the healthcare system was overwhelmed, or Spain, that would have been even worse for businesses. Customers would never have shown up. Employees would not have gone to work. And so, you know, we had to strike this fine balance between two very bad choices. I think what all of us are trying to do is make sure that as we reopen, we do so in a way that we can give confidence. I said this last time on your show, but give confidence to employees, to consumers, to students, so that as we reopen, we're not just flicking a switch and saying, okay, bingo, things are now open, go back to work. We have to recognize that each and every one of those 13 million Pennsylvanians have to make a decision on their own that they're going to be safe, their children are going to be safe, their parents or grandparents are going to be safe. And so we need to do this in a very measured and reasoned way. I think that's the way we started out back in March with what we had. We have more now, and we can do things like Allegheny County is doing in a very measured, reasonable, targeted way.
PABusinessGrants.com, by the way, $5,000 to $50,000 available through the CARES Act grants from the federal government through the state if you're a business owner looking for some help.
And, Governor, we'll move on to the other major topic, the unrest.
Sorry about that. I wasn't real. I didn't answer. You're right. We're trying to do everything we can to make sure that businesses have the resources to get them through this tough time. So thank you for pointing that out. Sorry, Kevin.
That's okay. PABusinessGrants.com.
And Governor, the Pennsylvania State Senate now considering two police reform bills passed by the House recently. The first would create a database to monitor police officer disciplinary issues. The second, I believe, would be training for detection of child abuse. How do you feel about these bills? Are they tough enough for you? And will you sign them if they get to your desk?
I will sign. Yes, I think they'll get to my desk, and I will sign them. And I think they're a good first step. We still need to do more. So, and I think the people who sponsored the legislation understand we need to do more. And so I'm working with the Pennsylvania Black Caucus, Legislative Black Caucus, and also members of my administration to establish an agenda for what follows on this. But this I think is an appropriate first step.
We have a lot of concerns about our institutes of not only higher education, but at every level. 14 universities in the Pennsylvania state system face declining enrollment and financial challenges. How do you feel about supporting those as we move toward the fall?
I'm a very strong supporter of the system of higher education in Pennsylvania. Those 14 schools, by the way, are facing exactly what every college, private and public, is facing. There's a demographic trough. And a set for a very few, a handful of colleges and universities. I think most colleges and universities are trying to figure out how to deal with the reduced rate of application and the declining student population. So everybody's looking to figure out how to handle this. And the PASCHE system, we have a chancellor who has been there now for about a year, Dan Greenstein, and his Cindy Shapiro from the Pittsburgh area is the chair of the board, and together with the board and with the faculty and the administration of each of the universities, they've been working very hard to figure out how the state system is going to deal with this demographic trough, this reduction in the number of kids coming of college age, and I think they've come up with a really good plan. As you recall, in my budget that I gave in February, I propose putting a record, the most ever amount of money invested into the state system of higher education. And there's a bill right now that has made its way, I think, now in the Senate, on its way to my desk, to give the system greater flexibility to figure out how to move forward in this which is a bill on governance. But together with the investment flexibility, I think the state system is doing a lot of really creative things to make sure that they adapt as every institution of higher education has to adapt to the new realities of the world. They're doing really interesting things, working with the faculty and staff, working with the administrators to make sure that the state system is relevant in this new era. Then with all the other things going on, of course, then COVID-19 came on top of that. So there's a real need for higher education in general to take a fresh look at itself, and I think that's exactly what PASHE's doing, and I think it's the right thing to do.
And it's going to consolidate some services, and like administrative services and things like that, but no schools, or none of the 14 colleges are going to, or universities are going to close as of now, right?
No, that's right.
Okay,
that's
good.
That's right.
Because Larry and I went to Clarion University of Pennsylvania, which, you know...
Well, congratulations.
You know,
a great school.
It is the Dartmouth of the PA system, as you know.
Well,
Dartmouth is the Clarion of the Ivy League.
We told people we went Ivy League. They said, Clarion's not Ivy League. And I said, did you ever see the Student Union building? It was covered with it. Well, Governor, we, as always, appreciate your time. And one last quick question.
One last quick thing. Mm-hmm. Last time we had a question from a listener regarding his birth certificate records.
We dealt with that, right?
Yes, you did. Randy and Kathleen wanted to thank you very much, sir. You held on the line, and you personally asked for his information. We gave it to you, and it got taken care of. So thank you. He wanted to thank you, and we all thank you.
And tell Randy congratulations.
Yes, for all the criticism you take, you saved a marriage. So you got that going for you.
Happy to do it.
All right, Governor, appreciate it. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, guys.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.